Okay. We have a great schuss to have Harav HaGaon of Simon Shlita here. Everyone knows how great of a Talmid Chacham he is. But even how much you know that, he really is a greater than what you think. Because he's a great Anuv. He's a big treasure in our yeshiva. And he's one of my Rebbeim and also a close friend. I ask him Shilas all the time. Just last night I asked him a Shila in Hilchos Nidah. And he's a wellspring of Torah, Lashon HaGemara Kedushin. He's a Baki B'chol Chedri HaTorah, so Lashon HaGemara B'Kedushin. And he truly is. And so it's a great honor and schus for us to have him here with us. So without any further ado, I'd rather go to Simon Shlita.
Thank you, Rabbi Hirsch, for your kind words. It's a schus to be here. I've been here before. It's always a schus to be here in the summer to share Divrei Torah. And feel free, and you know, if you have questions in the middle of the shiur, you want to ask, whatever you like. Okay. So, so let's begin with the words of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Hilchos Nidah. Afilu rosa elatipas dam kechardo yosheves alav zayin nekim. In other words, the question that we have to define is there a shear for Nida? In other words, Nida means that there's dam from the bayis hapnimi that comes out into the bayis hachitzon. Question exactly what the cutoff point is. Where is that mavar? Really, there's one exactly does a woman become a nida. She definitely becomes a nida internally. In other words, the blood doesn't have to come la'avir ha'olam. So the question is whether she becomes a nida when the blood comes from the bayis hapnimi into the cervix, or does she only become a nida when it leaves the cervix? Because if you look at, if I can use this, make believe this is the rechem. So this is the rechem. Now when it starts, you know, turning this way, this is like the mouth of the rechem, and that's called the cervix. So the question is whether she becomes a nida when it leaves the rechem and it goes into the cervix, or does it have to leave the cervix? That's called the internal os versus the external os. In other words, some shitas hold that she becomes a nida as soon as it comes out, and from the bayis hapnimi into the cervix, and others hold that it has to come out of the cervix. The nafkamina for, I don't know, a split second. So the big nafkamina is, if you want to follow Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's chiddush from the Gemara of Rosh Dam B'Shoferes, that he had a chiddush that if you put a tube into the, and it goes from the mokar into the tube, and then it's yotze la'avir olam. So he said, then she wouldn't become a nida, at least certainly not midaraisa. So the question is, so where does the tube have to be fastened? It's much easier if you fasten it over here because it's narrow. It's easy. You have to fasten it. So if you hold that she becomes a nida over here already, then she became a nida already. It's not going to help that you have the tube over there, but if you put it here, so then it'll go from here right into the tube, and it never was bipsara, so therefore she wouldn't become a nida. So that's like one of the only nafkaminas practically. That's one of the only nafkaminas practically of. But yeah, you have to realize that even though this is an important nakuda, that even if you hold that she becomes a nida when it comes into the cervix, that's already the mokum that she becomes a nida. Or even if you hold the other way, like the Shlomo Zalman, that she becomes a nida later. But kuli amar lo pligi, that the basar of the cervix is not dam nida. In other words, if the cervix itself, the basar of the cervix itself, is bleeding, and that happens a lot of times during pregnancy, it's called a friable cervix. That during pregnancy, the cervix becomes mushy, and the blood itself bleeds from the cervix. That l'kuli alma is not nida. Everyone agrees that dam nida means the lining of the, you know, from inside. So even if you hold that this yet is inside Lagabi when she becomes a nida, but that's only Gabi the lining of inside, and only becomes a nida when it comes out. But in terms of the busser of the cervix itself, that's not done nida. Understand? So anytime the cervix itself is bleeding, of course, whenever there's dam that comes from inside goes out, that's not the dam of the cervix. That means it went through the area of the cervix. Dr. Fertel should be well from Brooklyn. He made a model of a rechem. Yeah. One showed it to me as in his house. He made a model of just to understand visually what it is. So the best we can do here is this water bottle. Pretty good. and it's not as big as that, but. Okay, so that's a big yisod, that the machlokes when she becomes a nida legabi the dam bifnim, but kuli alma lo pligi, that she only becomes a nida from the blood from bifnim, and even if you hold this is still bifnim, the cervix from legabi when she becomes a nida from that dam, but the dam of the cervix itself is considered. And therefore it's called damaka. And therefore a pap smear, for example, is going to be damaka. That's when you want to test cancer or whatever has shown, and you scrape the cervix. So it means you're going to be scraping inside of this part. And so that's going to be damaka. And even if the cervix itself becomes, friable, what we call mushy, and it starts bleeding from here itself, that's also called damaka. Right.
So the
maka b'mokar, so we hold a maka b'mokar is considered a maka, but the question is, what is a maka b'mokar? And in other words, is only if there's a growth or something like that. Or what if you would take a stick and you would poke inside? Is that considered a maka? Because then it's just the regular dam that's coming. Does a maka mean kazera eva kadesh, that you have to have something that you could say, oh, this is a maka, this is the bruise right here, or not? Whenever you did something to have it come out in a way that's not normal, that's called a maka. That's the opinion. That's what Shlomo Zalman held. If you take a stick and you poke, provided the stick is thin, if the stick is thick, so then it's going to be faster anyway else. To be the sheet of Psichas Samokar, because even if the dam, even if the thin was a thin stick, and you give a zetz, so the different sheetas, whether that's called Nida Mamish, that's how some say Nida Mamish, because it's the dam Nida. Rav Shlomo Zalman says no, that's called a Maka. Rav Shechta has this Chiddush that that's called a Kesem. That's a very big kiddush to say, because since it's not coming out hormonally, it's coming out because of trauma. So therefore, that's
that's a whole different approach of what's called the Riyah versus the Kesem. So a lot of people hold that's called the Riyah. But Rav Shlomo Zalman of Abadi holds that way, that it's called a Mankah. Sometimes if you have a hematoma, this comes up a lot. Well, before the hematoma, you have a fibroid. You have a fibroid. So the fibroid is a growth inside the core. And it causes the shedding of the lining, at least in that area where the growth is. So the question is that called the maka or not? Because on one hand, it's the growth is causing the hormones to change and causing the lining to shed, at least in that area. So that could be as far as why. That's the opinion of the Cheshif HaEifod of Chanoch Parva, that a fibroid is considered a Nida Daraisa. That's what Rav Ausch from Williamsburg has told me. That the Maka, it's a Riyah, and that's it. And there's a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer, written to Rav David Cohen of Brooklyn, where he tells that it's a Maka. Because basically it's causing it to shed, but it's not the natural mahalach of this is a growth. So the Rambam says, here there's a growth, so you can call this the growth, and that's called a makah. So Rambam Cohen claims that that's what the Chazon Ish says, and that he's makel on fibroids to say that they're mutter. And Al just told me several times, if you look at the truth of the Cheshif HaEvod of Dayan Padova, you'll see he writes the Feirish that he thinks it's a Nida Daraisa. Because you have these Shashayim with Luchas Nida, where one person will say it's a Nida Daraisa, and another person will say it's Mutter Gamri. You'll see. The funny type of, you never want to have Machlokas in extremes like that. But in Hilchas Nida, you have that. One posik will say it's mutter legamri, another will say it's isakaris. I once had a, the shaila comes up a lot during pregnancy. This comes up every day, that women get a blood clot between the sac and the wall. It's a clot. And there's blood there. And she can bleed. She can bleed months from that. And she can be osilabaila for months and months and months. So the question, the first time I got the shaila, I said, at least we have to try to see if there's a heter for this. Because it could be usher to, it could be 6 months to be usher. So what happened was, I wanted to know what. So I was trying to ask around to see Rabbi Kenny Brander got me in touch with Borstein and Mochampua, they have contacts with all the Rabbanim in Eretz Israel. So I was in his office once, and he said that they have a Masorah from Rabbi Yashiv that if the clot is attached to the sac, then the assumption is that blood didn't come from the wall, it came from the sac. There was not dam nida. The sac is not the wall of the line. But if not, then you have to assume that it came from the from the wall, and therefore it's dam nida.
So, but he said to me, Rabbi Bernstein, but you should ask Rabbi David Cohen, because he's Mako, Lagabe fibroids, and Lachara, there should be no different than a fibroid, because if you assume the idea of the fibroid, or as it says from the Dvar Shmuel, the same as Dvar Shmuel, not the modern paper, the old Dvar Shmuel, or Shmuel Abu Hab. Very chashuv a sefer. One might tell me to know that he has a vort that I always say over. It's a controversial vort, but he says over that that the Shulchan Aruch wasn't written by Rav Yosef Karo. It was, in other words, he wrote the Beis Yosef, and then he gave out to Talmidim, you do the first 10 simanim, you do the next 10 simanim. And he says, that's why there's so many stevers in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's just like what the son of the Chofetz Chaim said, the reason why the stevers in the Mishnah Berurah is because this simon was written by my brother, this simon was written by my father, and the Mela, that's how. So he said the same thing by if it would be a, you know, somebody who was 10 years ago, I wouldn't take it so seriously, but the Kadmon who said it was not too long from the time of the Beis Yosef who said that. And then, you know, Rav Abadi once showed me a Vilna Gaon in Hilchas Yontif, where the Gaon writes that Yesh Harbe Stiris B'Shulchan Aruch Kayadua. So I thought that that was the same idea. That the stiras, and we're not bothered. Many achronim try to miyashiv stiras in the shulchan, but there's so many blatant stiras in the shulchan aruch. Say avelus on Purim, in Hilchas Purim and in Hilchas Avelus, where one place he says there's no avelus at all, one place he says the dvarim shabbatzinah. So mamish blatant stiras in Shulchan Aruch in many areas. So if you say like this Mahalach, it takes away all the lumdus and all the things. But that was the Dvar Shmuel says So the Dvar Shmuel has this thing about Derech Riyah Bekach. If it's not the normal Derech Riyah Bekach, then it's not a Nida. So that's how he says a fibroid. That's the truth in the It's a fibroid. It's not derech riyah. It's a growth, and that causes the lining to shed. So then it's not derech riyah bekach. So he says. So he said to me, if Reb David Cohen was makel on the fibroids against the cheshev ha'efod, then he should be making on this also. So if everyone would give a heter on this, he should give the heter. So I said to him, but I already asked Rav David Cohen, and he told me, no. He said, this is neither. So he says, go back to him and ask him that question. So I called him up again. And he said, that no, over there, there's a physical thing that you could point to, the fibroid. So even though, and that's causing something else, but he thought that's what a mach is. It has to be something physical that you could look at and point to. Masha Ein came the case of the hematoma. So there was you got a blood clot, but there's nothing that you could. But the blood clot, you know, it's just the blood that came, residual blood that came from the lining. So there's no. So he says the lining is shedding, and it's just not coming up at once. It's just forming a ball in the thing. So the ball is not what's causing the bleeding. The ball is the result of the bleeding. So it's not like the fibroid, where the fibroid itself is the bleeding. Oh. So then, I wanted to, you know, at least I wanted to do my homework, never to say that I didn't, you know, work hard enough to find if there was a kula for this one. So only one person in the world that gave me a mocker for this discussion is the late Rav Yeshua Wallhendler. Yeshua Wallhendler wrote the sefer Gufi Halachas. It was a sefer on Suchas Nida. It was never complete. He wrote a Chelak Aleph and Chelak Gimel. I don't think Chelak Beis was ever. And he was a tremendous lucky in Nida. Tremendous, in everything. Tremendous, tremendous. Unfortunately, he was Nifter at a relatively young age. I never met him, but I spoke to him on the phone. A very nice man. And there were politics. He got, you know, people gave him a hard time that he called the Sefer Mishneh Berurah Chadash, you know. So they made him problems and whatever they did to him. So he told me that when you look in the Lechem Asimla, in the back of the Lechem Asimla, there's a kuntres, a machlokes between the Maram Lublin and the Ben Habach. If a person, Rachmanu Litzlan, has cancer, and the cancer is causing the bleeding. So it was cancer, so is that called a maka or not? Because on one hand, it's not normal, but on the other hand, it's not something you can see. Right? It's not visible. It's not like Abdul Cohen's growth that you can look at it and see. So there's a machlokas between the Maram Lublin and the Ben Habach. If the bleeding that comes from cancerous inside the uterus, uterine cancer, is that going to be called a maka, or is that going to be considered a... So he thought, according to the Shita, that's considered a maka, so you see that you don't need to see anything. As long as it's not normal, then that would be... And I always wondered whether this is no different. Some want to say that what causes the clot is the trauma of the sac trying to latch on to the wall, and it's like bumping into the wall. So maybe it's like the case of the stick, and therefore it should be. So according to Shlomo Zalman, it should be okay, even though Shlomo Zalman himself seems not to, you know. One night I was just thinking about this. I couldn't sleep at night. I tell you, I couldn't sleep at night. I wanted to, you know. So you know what I did? I called up Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg in the middle of the night. In Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't the middle of the night. But I wanted to see what he had to say. I spoke to his wife. He said, "He says, is this Tachuf?" So I said, "Yes, Tachuf." So she gave me his number in the Encyclopedia Talmudis. That's where Rav Zalman Chaim, because after a certain age you have to retire from the Beis Din, but you can still write the encyclopedia. So that's what he works on, the encyclopedia. So she gave me the number, and he said, "Well, no, Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe you should call Rav Avigdor Nevensov." So that was what he said. I didn't get through, but then I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman in other places quoted L'chumras, but I still wasn't sure. So L'maisa, I haven't found enough confidence to be mako on this, even though Abraham, Nishmas Avraham, he told me on the phone once, he thought it should be a maka. And Steinberg, he says very stark thing that it's not. So, but it comes up a lot. And it's nafkamina for to be a long time. And the original child I got, she ended up miscarrying, so it became irrelevant. And that was but that was the first time I got that Shiloh.
The guy from the code we were following, he talks about if you have a partial hysterectomy, like the related to what Rez is saying, so there could you be Taylor that all the dam is dam maka and she wouldn't have to.
You mean the whole thing came out or part of it?
Part of it. I mean, there I can quote the Rush quotes or Bain.
Yeah, you have to look. He has a piece, Ravosna and Shaven Fellow. Okay. So now let's get back to Kuf Bei Gimel Aleph. Afilu Rosh Alati Bas Dam Kechardal Yoshevus Halav Zayin Nekim. So that's the short question. Is there a shear of blood to make someone a nida? Rabbi Bleich says over, he was once by Rav Henkin, and Rav Henkin was doing a get, and somehow in the middle of the get, someone came with a neither shayla. I guess not that couple, but someone else came and he made a comment. I guess it was a very small amount of dam, and Rav Henkin made a comment. Chardel is also a shear, so maybe if it's less than a chardel, so maybe there's room to be made. Chardel is also a shear. That was the comment that Rav Henkin said. Awesome. So I was once in Lakewood by Rav Abadi, so I told him the story. So I said, "What do you think about this story that I heard in the name of Rav Henkin?" So he said to me, it's against the Shach. Shach Sivkot and Gimel. Shach says, V'huadin Pochas. In other words, Chardel, V'huadin Pochas. Kach Chosav Ha'ogr, V'shem Sharidur, V'hagos Sharidur, Kach Chosav Ha'ronim Poshinu. So, you see the Shach says, the Feirish, it's not, it doesn't have to be a Chardel, V'huadin Pochas. I don't know, I'm sure Rav Henkin knew this, maybe he was involved in the get, so he was, whatever, but, so that's what he said to me, Rav Abadi, it's against the Shach, Sivkot and Gimel, Sivkot and Gimel. But then he said, but I want to ask you a kasha on the Shach. The Shach is difficult. What's difficult with the Shach? Because you have a Mishnah Nida on Daf Mem, So Frechter Rashash, Frechter Rabadi, and other Achronim ask, why is the Shach quoting a Sharidura and Hagos Sharidura to tell me that Hu Adin Pochas if it's a Mishnah? You don't quote a Sharidura when it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you can't have it, pochas mikan. So less than a chagel. So what do you need? What do you need to tell me? So that was the kashuv. And so the Rashash on that Mishnah and Daf Mem says, first of all, there are two ways to learn the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Pochas Mikon, is that going on the Valkeri and the Zav, the male emissions, or is that also going on the Nida? So Rashi says that Utami B'mashul Ria. So the Rashi says, "Befeirish Amembei Zamer Aleph Dibra Maskel Latame," that it's even going on Nida. So if it's going on Nida, then for states, if you have that, question. This Nida, therefore, the Mishnah is saying that Nida is even a Mashu. But the Rambam and the Perish Mishnayis says no. The Rambam and the Perish Mishnayis says that. The Talmud calls you Romeis al Shech Vazera al Zov. It's only going on, and the Bartanura also, but not going on the Isha. So if that be the case, then it's not a Mishnah, because the Mishnah is only going on the emissions of the man. It's not going on the woman. So that's if you hold like the first shita that we said, the Rashi that's going in a woman, then Taki have a kasha and the Shach. What do you need to tell me? It's a Sharidura if it's a Mishnah. If you hold like the Rambam, then you don't have a Mishnah, then you have to tell me it's a Sharidura. So what are the other, you know? So there's a Dogo Mirvava on the Shach and Sivkot and Gimel,
It's from the, in the new ones, the, it's from the Madura Tinyana of the Dogam Ravava. So the Dogam Ravava says the following. He says, no, why did the Shach quote a Sharidura if the Mishnah says it beferish for Kol Shehen? So he says, the answer is like this. He says, the Mishnah is telling me about the Din Daraisa. The Din Daraisa, when a woman sees dam, a little bit of dam, she's a nida. And a nida, as we know, doesn't need Zayin Nikiyim. The Shach is telling me about, so that's the that's what the Mishnah is saying. But the Sharidura, so that's what he says. Says the Dogam Ravava. The Achronim of Mechadesh, that the din of Rav Zeira, of Zayin Nikiyim, right? That even though the Lashon of Rav Zeira is lat, afilu chardel, Yosef is alav Zayin Nikiyim, so that din the Rabbanon of the Nos Yisrael is even pachas mechardel. Because you could say that, right, the different pshatim are why you have this din of Nos Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas, on that halacha, on the fifth parak of Brachas, that you're supposed to learn halacha psuka before davening. That's why if you look in the Rambam, in the Siddur HaRambam, you say every morning in davening, the way the Rambam did. We don't do that. But Os Yisrael Hachmir and Lassam Shafil Yosef Tivas Dam Kechad Yosef Zav Zayin Nikim. That's in the Rambam Siddur. You look there in the beginning when the Rambam has the Siddur, he has this, that's Halacha Pesukah. So somehow it didn't make it into Asidurim. I don't know whether Teimanim, maybe the Teimanim, look at a Teimanis, never looked it up in a Teimanis Siddur. You see, Teimanim, very big with the Rambam. They even had the Rambam in the Kaddish, B'chayechon u'be'yomechon u'b'chayed Rav Moshe bar Maimon. That was the Nusach HaKaddish. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that I feel Tipas Dam Kachardo, because you have to be choshes that maybe this Tipas Dam is already a collection of 3 days of little, every day a little bit was put in the Bayis Achitzon. So now that Tipas Dam Kachardo is it really 3 days worth, and therefore she's a Zavah Gedola. So I feel Yosef's Tipas of Zayin Nikiyim is the... So the chiddush is that you might think that it doesn't apply to when it's not kechargel. So kamash malon that no, because it could be a mistake or whatever. Tos, like I think the Beis Yosef is quoted. So therefore, so that's the chiddush of the sharidura. That's the chiddush of the shach who adin pachas is. He's telling me the Gabi the Din the Rabbanon of Zayin Nikiyim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. And the Mishnah, even if you want to say like the Mishnah is referring to Nida also, the Mishnah is referring to the Din Daraisa. The Din Daraisa is not Zayin Nikiyim. So the Mela, the two Makoras are telling you two different things, because the Din Daraisa could be Pachas, but now by this Chumra the Rabbanon of Zayin Nikiyim, maybe it's not Pachas, maybe it's only if it's Mamash Kechargel. So that's the Ramban says in Hilchas Nida there's Hilchas Nida or Ramban. He wrote the Hilchas Nida. So he says the reason of the Zayin Nikiyim is not to be Mechali, because sometimes a little bit of blood could cause Zayin. Say a woman sees a little bit of blood on the seventh day, so it soaks through the whole thing. So then you have other cases that a little bit of blood is Goyrim Zayin Nikiyim. Right? It's Goyrim Zayin Nikiyim. So So since we have one hechitimtza, that a little bit of blood is germ zayin nekiyim, so therefore we don't want women to be confused. You know, sometimes it will be germ zayin nekiyim, some of them not, so therefore in lo plug, it's always zayin nekiyim. So with that, it's easier to understand why it's uadin pachas, that you know, if you want to say like the Rebbe Yonah, then you have to say some svara, like I think Beis Yosef says, that even though it really is a chashash that it's a collection of 3 days, but that collection of 3 days maybe shouldn't apply when it's not at least a chardo. Mashulan, that was still machmir, because maybe there was, like I think the Beis Yosef said, maybe it was toah and it made a mistake in how big it was, etc. There's another pshat in this idea of tipas dam kechardel that the Bach has in Simakuf Pei Gimel, because the Gemara Nidon Mem Aleph from the Beis says like this: Makor shehizia kishtei tipei margolius. So there's two drops come out of the makor. It's tameya. So the Gemara says davke tarti avolchad. So there was the derech of the makor when it sheds blood. It doesn't shed just a tipa. The derech is to be shed, as we know, when a woman gets a period, it's b'shofi. So at least there should be two tipas. But if it's not two tipas dam, if it's not two tipas of dam, then you could be tola that it was really a maka. Because when it's coming out in its regular menstrual cycle, it's going to be at least two tipos. So the one, you could be tola that it was a maka. That's what the Gemara says on the Malachon base. So the Bach says that's the pshat. Shechmiru benos Yisrael, a few tipos dam kechardel, means even one tipa. Even though one tipa we normally assume is dam maka, because that's not the derech hamakor to shed only one tipa. So even though it's only tipa achas, they were machmir that we're not going to be told that it's a maka. That was the chiddush of Benos Yisrael. You never know. Maybe it's a maka. Right, the derech is that you don't have one, so it probably is a maka. So they didn't have bodekas so easily those days that you could get checked out, so they were machmir. And that's pshat in the Benos Yisrael. He's machmir to treat it to treat it like now why did he say Zayin Nekiyim? So okay, that you maybe have to rely on the Ramban's reason or something like that, but that is his, the chiddush of Hafilu Tipas Dam Kechardel, that even though it's only one tipa, and based on that the Sidri Tara wants to say that, so maybe that the Chumr of Benos Yisrael is only when the whole question is this tipa, is it maka or is it nida? So they were choshish that even though we normally assume it's maka, we'll treat it like nida. But if you have another tzad kula, like it's a suffix of the color or something like that, then the Sidrei Tara and the Noda Yehuda Bialduso said that maybe then the Benos Yisrael wouldn't be machmir. And it's like a sveka, because maybe it's suffic, need a suffic maka, and even if it's not a maka, but maybe it's not the right color or something like that. And he said that be I'll do so, that maybe if it's a little bit and there's some suffic, you could be more metal. It's only tipa achas. Because tipa achas is only really a chumrah, because really, so even though we were saying before that tipa achas really a field of mashahu, that's the din daraisa, but then we have this svar to say that means technically nida is tipa achas, but
tipa achas is not the derech, so then you have a svara to be mekel mitzad halina b'macha. So that's a fascinating idea.
That,
what? Yeah, he said that. He said that when he was young. He said, "I said this when I was young, and now I'm not so, you know, now I'm a little older." But some poskim, I think Rabbi Eli Melech Leibowitz said, I think from one of the Bik or the different Sina, that but usually derech adam is a different svara. That you have like a little small thing like the pen mark. It's usually derech adam is lispashet. So it's one thing like that. Sometimes, usually not. I just recently, someone brought me a tikka cloth. I was looking at it, and I don't know, something didn't add up. It was in the strange part of the tikka cloth. I'm showing it to Rabbi Tuchman, and then he took it. He saw it was a thread. The whole thing was a red thread that was somehow got on the cloth, and so that was good. Okay. Now, so these are that discussion about the shear of Nida, etc. In the Sefer Taras Yisrael, on the bottom, is the, yeah. They say that, like, sometimes you have a,
the time that's where the kol shehu is.
Yeah, so in other words, right, the kol shehu, we're saying, is we're machmir kol shehu, but usually the derech adam is, when you have, like, some blood, it doesn't just, it spreads, you know, it's usually not a, so sometimes that is used as a sniff, and the Sefer Taras Yisrael in the bottom, he also quotes this halacha about one tipa. The Taras Yisrael was used to be like the classic Sefer Anida, not Taras Bas Yisrael. Not the Kalman. The Taras Yisrael is the classic Sefer Anida that no one heard of today, let alone no one uses today. I shouldn't say no one, but it's but that was a classic Nida Sefer. You see, sometimes in different generations, different things became classic, and, you know, he has the way you're supposed to count Vestos, Vestos Hafloga, the way we count it is from the beginning of one to the beginning of the other, like Lubavitch does it from the end of the last one to the beginning of the next one. I think it's in the Taras Yisrael, he has like that. And that used to be that used to be the classic Sefer, and that was the classic way people did Vestos. But today it's not the classic Sefer, so the mail is not the classic way people do count Vestos Hafloga. But Chabad counts Vestos Hafloga from how much time there is, how many onus there are from the end of the last month's period and the beginning of this month's period. And they don't go by days, they go by onus. Different way. Okay. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, he writes that that even technically speaking, and this is the tricky part of Hilchas Nida B'Zman Hazeh, is that the question is, like, we know we discussed the three Hargashas that you know, the Truma Sadesh and Psichas Pia Mokar and the Divas Divas Davar Lachav the Noda Bihuda and the Zadzei Gufa of the Rambam. And the question is, do we have these Bizman Hazeh? Don't we have them Bizman Hazeh? Rav Herschel Alsh told me from Williamsburg, he told me that he's of the opinion that menstrual cramps are really the feeling of the psichas piha makor. That's why he's very machmir by cramps with blood. You see, really, Really, after we go through everything we said now, quantity really has nothing to do with Tosafot neither. It's even okay. We discussed maybe one tipa, two pieces, but neither is not a question of quantity. In other words, you can have the way Rav Moshe thing writes in the Tshuva. You can have a woman who has a big flow with no hargashas, and that's technically a kesem. And then this other woman has a tipa with a hargasha, and she's a nida d'oraisa. You know, in other words, technically that should be the, and it is. It's just today the hargasha thing became very cloudy. So once the hargasha thing became very cloudy, like what is the hargasha? Do we really have the hargasha? Is it not the hargasha? That became so nebulous. So then a lot of poskim say, if you have a reed boy dam, we're going to treat that as a daraisa, because the derech is there is a hargasha by reed boy dam, like the Aruch HaShulchan quotes from Achronim, that you know really the woman do. They are margish, they don't know what they're margish, you know, it's... So that became like a normative way. In other words, you mean to tell me the woman has a period but she doesn't feel anything and she's wearing a pad. So, are we going to tell her so your mother? Like Rosh Hashanah says, oh, a woman once told him, oh, I just wear tzivonim, so I never have to go to the mikvah. You know, certain things that just not nitan lehomer. Certain svaras you just can't say. You can't just say, okay, you don't have to go to mikvah, just wear pads, and then you never become a nida. So, you say the women don't have hargasha, so to wear a blue underwear and, you know, and say goodbye to the mikvah, or wear, it can't be. So that's why. So if you say like Rabbi Ausch that the kriyams of today are really the psichus pi hamocher, then many women have kriyams. Some say the kriyams are not. It's just the vessels hagud. He told me. So I asked Rabbi Ausch, are you saying the same thing as the Maram Shik? So he said, no, I'm not saying the same thing as the Maram Shik. Was the Maram Shik is more expansive. He's saying that all the chills and all the, you know, all other types of vessels hagufs are considered hargasha. He was saying his thing specifically about the cramps, not other types of chills and things like that. Okay, so he's very, you know, when you put in, IUDs, so that, you know, causes a lot of problems in these things, and you know, if you want to say like this far with the cramps, so then basically we flip the whole halacha around, because the halacha technically is that the masha who is a nida if there's hargasha. And now we're saying, well, a mashahu, well, we don't have the hargasha, so a mashahu is going to be mutter. But the ribudam, without the hargasha, that's going to be... that's why Hilchos Neida is so complex, because since this question of reality changed, so then everything got flipped over. And now that made a tremendous bilbo in what's called... Is the Neida, the woman who has the little blood... Maybe she's the nida, and the other one who, you know, that became the bilbo. So what can I tell you? The And all these shiurim, like half dollar bill or whatever it is, these are not like the shiur of a gris that the Chasam Sofer writes that the meal tzedakah was miyageya a lot to get. It's an exact shiur. It was miyageya with the lentils. Exact. What that exact shiur is a question, but you know, the two
printings of the meal tzedakah. There's a different picture and different size based on which of the two printings you go with, the 18 something printing and the
I have it on the packet. The different, you know, but it's exact that whatever we're saying for what's called a Riya, that's not a, that's just estimation. That's just it's not an exact science. That's why it makes things so complex. So we assume that Riberdam is some type of assumption that there's a Hagasha. Well, we assume that every time you find Dam inside the person is Chazaka Shabbat Bahagasha. Even though we didn't necessarily find and feel a Hagasha. Yeah.
Without saying that the sensation of Kriya Kiyamaha is the cramp, or the cramp is just symptomatic of the fact that it is a Kriya Kiyamaha. I mean, that's not actually the feeling of the Mukhar opening, or do you think it's not that's the feeling?
That's the feeling of the Mukhar opening. Yes, you know, there's a question about what's called tipa chodshi, that a woman takes his birth control and she only spots one tipa a month. So is that called a nido or not? So it's one tipa, and that's it. With the IUD or some type of pill, you know, you can have. Once you play around with the hormones and this, you can anything can happen. So, Rabbi Willig, he wrote an article in the Beis Yitzchak, based on Rabbi Yashiv, arguing that a tipa chodshi is considered as a nida d'oraisa. Rabbi Ash and Rabbi Bari thought not that way. They thought, no, that's a kesem. If there's no hargasha, that's a kesem. So the idea. So David Feinstein also thought. He told me. He asked me, is that her regular, you know, vessels? Is her regular? So I said, yes. And then he says, that's a nida. So the Rabbi Bari said back to me, he said, no, if a woman is regular to seek summon, but that doesn't make it a riyah. Just because you're regular to have a kesim, so that's a kesim. So the kesim means that there's dam b'li hargasha. So that's a kesim. So if you're regular to see a kesim, it's a kesim. But this idea that the others are saying is that becomes yerigilus. He wants to say, wants to claim maybe Rabbi Yashiv said like that, Rabbi Willig. Because Rabbi Yashiv has this thing, and he wrote this tshuva to Rabbi Welcher of Kew Garden Hills, where he wants to say that, based on the Rugachover, that Hargasha is just a... just a way of saying the regilus. But if your regilus is without it, so then you're neither the right to without it. I think Rabbi Usher White is the same as like that. Well, with the Pashtun, he writes Hagasha is a specific thing, it's a Hagasha. So say, then the question is, Bismanazeh, that we have women who say they don't have Hagasha, so then. Unless you say the following, that there could be three things. There could be a Riya, there could be a Kesem, and then there could be something called a Riya Midrabon, which means that it's not a Kesem, because it's a Riya, we know it's coming from the Mokar, but it doesn't have and a Riya Midrabon maybe is still won't have these
So there are some that want to mechadish this type of swara, a riyad de rabbanim, that will still have the din of nida, even though it's not with a hargasha, but it's not a kesem because you can't be, you don't have a taliyah, because we know that this is the regila, so we know where it's coming from. So maybe it's still a din. The kesem maybe is only you can be told that it's coming mibachut. Here you can't be told that it's coming mibachut. So therefore, so the mela, maybe it's still a din of a riyah midrabanan, and you still have to have the and you won't get the coolers of kesem. Maybe those coolers are only for summon, but this concept of a riyah derabanan, maybe not. So if you say like that, then that could explain things, that there is going to be still won't be needed the raisa, but you won't tell, say, a woman, she doesn't have any hargashas, so she gets a full period every day, every month, a full period with no hargashas, and she's wearing blue underwear. So she doesn't go to the mikvah. I don't think anyone can say that. I don't think it's possible to say such a thing. So the other svara that's sometimes mentioned is this idea of a riyah midrabanan, and therefore she would have to go midrabanan still. She's still, even though she doesn't get the coolers of Tzivonim, because those coolers were only said by a kesem, and the kesem is a tliya mi'alma. But if it's not a tliya mi'alma, we know that it's not shaykh that somebody who has a full period is coming mibachot. Of course it's coming, so it's like we know it's coming, but it's all, okay, so it's only mi'alma, it's not an ami, but then you don't get the coolers either. So that could solve this conundrum of sorts.
Yeah, but in Rav's opinion, do you think there is such a category under the Mekaris and Shas and Rishonim? Is it either needed to arise towards the song? Is there such a middle category?
Right, because there could be a middle category because read.
Like the Sam Sofer says, we know by some, even though we don't have lice, but it became like. You know what I mean?
Right.
So why can't you say, I know on one end the Rav's saying it's not shy to say it, but like Rav Abadi, the Rav mentioned, says that this is her derech to have some.
Right. So it's derech to have some. Right. Because over there, because over there, Kesem is, you can tell her that it's coming Ibachot. Because if it's a little Kesem, then you can be told her that it's. But if you have a full fledged flow, it's coming from. Look, where's it coming? Is it coming from me? Where's it coming from? It has to be coming. So it's like Vade that's coming from there. Ah, but still it's a din of Hargasha. Still a din of Hargasha. So this Mahalach is, I have to see the first one to say this. But this Mahalach, I think, is
by Pipa's Kochi, you could say the Mahalach of the Vade.
Yeah, by Ketiba Chodesh, you can still say the Mahalach of Rav Abadi, but I think it's Rabbi Tuchman, who was the first one that we saw that said this. He thought about this idea, but who the earliest source was to say such a chiluk. But I think this chiluk is also something that could be, could put things in perspective.
According to those who say that they can go by the regular derech riyah every month, did it make sense then that they would say lahachmi, that her riyah would start from, let's say, when she starts spotting, within 24 hours before the full flow starts? So when you say that the regular dawn every month, you start from the spotting as well?
You mean that she would be a need of the rice at that point?
You would have been like a chakra, right?
No, Varchakas, I want to know, is it a need of the rice at that point?
Right. If they're going to go by the regular year, like they're going to Mobayashi.
Right.
So would the Svara then need to say, here's from the spotting?
You mean a woman, if a woman who doesn't have any...
Where she starts
with the body. Yeah. Right, but if she eventually gets her garshas, so then in the beginning she didn't have their garshas, now she doesn't. So, of course, your question can only be said in a woman that never has the, and she starts with spotting, and then she gets a flow. But flow is not a halakhic category of flow. So you have to say that a flow, there's a hargasha there, even though you don't feel it or not. So then, if you assume that she doesn't have any hargashas at all, and you say ravogash is far ragil makasa, then in a kanami, the staining is no different than the flow. I mean, you can say you're far. It'd be Vestas. Only by Ksamim there's no Vestas.
And a bracha,
sure.
Did you really hold of the Hargasha of Ziva Stavrolach generally, or only Sikhti and Tumaka?
Yeah, so Rav Moshe Feinstein came up with this Chiddush that, you see, the Chavis Das wants it, that you should feel it when it's crossing the line. So it's hard to know. The Noda Yehuda seemingly the whole runway. So, and Rav Moshe says that even when it's Yotze Migufo, so that's a bit Kiddush, because none of the classical poskim said like that. Rabbi Eitan Schnall showed me, he thinks maybe in Tosas Chachme Anglia, he thought Pshad and maybe saying what Rav Moshe said. You have to look carefully to see if that's what he's saying, but maybe. So Ramabadi is machmir for that shita of Rav Moshe, that when he thinks that that's the modern day Nod Vihuda, is really feeling it coming out, because yeah.
But that would be cool as well, because the lady doesn't feel it coming out. But almost every lady will feel it coming out at some point. So if she doesn't feel it coming out, you can say it's happening.
Again, so then you could say, if you want to say the Sfar of Anita, the Rabban and Manika, that's a third category. Yeah.
So you mentioned that just peripherally the IUD. So if a woman from Rav Osh, she would have, let's say, cramps and not have any blood come out, would that be that he also says the cramps?
No, cramps.
Only along with the blood coming out?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that child of our gosh, who said that's an our gosh of
Lidam, yeah.
Wouldn't fall into that?
I would have to ask him, you know, I would want to ask him, but I could hear him saying that maybe.
Right, because the IUD sometimes they don't bleed for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then she could still have a cramp. Every
month,
would it be that
true possession? Yeah. You know, Rabbi Kellmer says over from Rav Soloveitchik that he thought that when you're having something introduced to the body to make a unnatural hormonal balance, that maybe that could be considered a mach. So that's very mechudish. Very mechudish. Rav Moshe Tuchman said to me, he thinks the only way to understand this is if you say like that, the discussion of the Ben Habach and the Imam Glim, that if you, like the cancer caused, unnatural hormones, if you want to say that that's a maka, then maybe it's like you're introducing, so to speak, like this thing, or as opposed to the body itself producing the cancer. He said to the Rav, you know, Rabbi Kellman was the Rav in the Yom Yisrael of Brookline before Rabbi Zwer. So he had trichas with Rav Soloveitchik and that Kufa. He said this is a very big kula, and I don't think it should, you know, maybe, you know,
like Rabbi Harfman has said in a different context, certain things you don't say, maybe sometimes you can think about it in the back of your head.
I feel that there was a case
that happened. It could be that it was some shas hakak that happened, and it came to us from later, maybe he's one of the svara like that. But Rabbi Tuchman said, well, he said the only way he thinks he can understand it is according to, you know, one of those sheets in the Machlokes is Maran Lublin, but then I'm not to say such a thing. Because because others say, forget that Rabbi Shachter, he writes in his Sefer the Ginus Egos that any forget that all Hargusha means is a simon that it came out hormonally and not the trauma. So it was a forget. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Porat, the father of Yisrael ben Porat from the Yeshiva, so his father is a very, very massive Talmud Chacham. His Rosh Hashiva in Vancouver for Ottawa. Now he's going to be giving Shia and Beit El. So he co-authored a article together with Professor Clayman from Ottawa. That's Rabbi Willis Machudin. That any time a person's on the pill, you know, and you know they're good on the pill, the unforgivable pill. Like sometimes people go away for Shabbos and they forget to take the pill, and then they have, you know, all types of messed up cycles now because the hormonal balance has changed if they didn't keep on the pill. So he says all these things are even a little bit from the pill. He thinks that you should treat that like a nida d'oraisa, which is just the opposite of what Rabbi Kellum was saying from Rav Soloveitchik, that you should treat that like a malchum. I don't know. Most seem to call not like Rav Soloveitchik, even from Rabbi Kellum. Unless you say what have Rabbi Tuchman explained it. Okay. You did the sugya of Dam b'Meiraglayim. So it's a focus tanoim about Dam b'Meiraglayim. Whenever the child of Dam b'Meiraglayim, so Rav Abadi always asks, is this Fardi or Nashkenazi? The Rambam sheep is Dam b'Meiraglayim is Butter. So you always told it that it's a maka, it's a urinary tract infection. That's the Rambam sheep. And the Rosh says, no, you need at least. The Gemara has the right, either Yosheves or Mizanekis. If you show Yosheves, so then there's no chashash that it came from the Mokka, for she's relaxed. And if it's Mizanekis, it means it's coming a shooting out, so that's not the way Dam Nida, so it's probably Dam Makka. So if you have one of the two, you could assume that she's not a Nida. And the Rabbeinu Chananel says you need Tarti L'Tivusa. You need Yosheves and Mizanekis. So this way, if it's Yosheves, then it didn't reroute. And if it's Mizanekis, it shows it's not Damnida also. So if you have both of them, then it's not Damnida. But if you only have one, so the Rush says, that's Mutter. Rabbi Chanano says it's the Kesem. Rabbi Tuchman pointed out, so once it's a Kesem, then you have to be Dan, is the water in the toilet. Makabal Tumu or not. And this is the Shiloh of the first Mishnah there in
in the gross, whether you have a puddle, make a boim, if a puddle, so a revius of water is a need of a gabe, is a mikvah, the derisa for kelim to meim. So maybe the same thing about the water in the toilet, maybe it's not a tal tumma. This is the machoikas between the kopa rav with mekil and the mei postum, that mei rangelov with machoikas. Usually the Yerushalayim was known that you went to Kula, you go to Dine Fisher, and in the Chumra, you go to Meir Brandsdorfer. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, so, you know, I was in Keren B'Yavne, I didn't leave Yeshiva from the day we got there till the day after Yom Kippur. That's the way it was. The only time we left, they took us to the Tovo and Ashtok, which they She didn't have a mikvah then. So we went to Rosh Hashanah to Ashdod, and we went back, and there was Yom Kippur, and we went back. But we had none of this thing about prancing around Yerushalayim till after Yom Kippur. So we were there 40 days straight learning. No, none of this. So then I remember I got a lulav. So I thought it was kosher, so I figured, but I wanted to see who Meir Brandsdorfer was, so I waited on the line, so I could just see who he was, and, you know, and then you could look at my lulav also. That was the excuse. But he was known for the koch, he was a very big poisek. So Rabbi Tuchman once made ha'ara to me. He says, according to Rabbi Hananel, Yichora, it's a kesem, but why is it a kesem? Why don't you say chashinon, you know, for Lahargasha from the Meir Aglayim. So why is he saying that it's a kesem? So he thought, Pasha Pshan, the Yisifa Rabbeinu Hananel, and Akashinan Lahargasha. It's only one way of reading the Gemara, is Akashinan Lahargasha. But the Pasha Pshan of all those sugars is the Gemara means Lakula, not Lakumra. The Chazanish, especially by Meir Aglayim, was not a problem with Akashinan Lahargasha. Oh, so before Tisha B'Av, I was looking in the Yaris Dvash to see what he had to say on Tisha B'Av. So he had a whole thing about Nida. Typical Yaris Dvash. You know, my friend Rav Simcha Kamer said there were some Gedolim that were big Gedolim Halacha, but in Drush they weren't as big, but some were Gadol Gedolim Halacha and Gedolim in Drush. In fact, if you look at the new Sefer I came out with, the Hakdama, so I discuss Leo Well from Kibbutz Hills. He heard from Rav Goldberg Chatzal, Rosh Yeshiva Chatzal. He said, he asked the Chazanish why he doesn't involve himself in Drush. So the Chazanish said, anything that you can't, you know, prove. In other words, if I say something in Halacha, so you can ask a Kasha from the Gemara, but if you're going to say a Pshat in the Medrash, so who says this is a Pshat in the Medrash? I have no way of proving or disproving. So any enterprise that you can't be foolproof about it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. That was the Chazanish's approach. But then I write, but other Gedolim, like the Chassam Sofer and the Yonatan Eibschitz, were involved in Drush and things. So, but like Rav Aaron Kantor, to be involved in Drush, you have to be on a high Madrega, because then because you have to trust the authenticity of the person, that he's not bringing in ideas that are not, because anyone can say, oh, that's what the Medrash means, or say so let me tell you what the Aris Dvash says. He says like this. The Pasuk says in the end of Mitzorah, Hadova benidosav hazov bezovov. So he says that the idea, the zov bezovov, is the flow. Dova benidosa is Lashon Meruchak. Dova is Lashon Meruchak. You're Meruchak from your husband. So al zeh ya daveli beinu ale khush ya hartzion she shamaim shulim holkubo. So yes, the kasha, why is the nida called dova? Chor, the zava is more meruchak. Zava is also you need zayin akim. It's more meruchak. The nida doesn't even need zayin akim. So if you wanted to call one of them dova, the lashon meruchak, shouldn't it be the zava, not the nida? That was his kasha. So he says like this. He says, he gives a mashal. See, if a king wants to oust somebody from his palace, so if he's gonna, so he wants to oust him for a long time, but if he tells him right away it's gonna be a long time, so the guy will be, you know, depressed. So, you know, he could, but if he doesn't tell him, so every day he thinks that what? That maybe tomorrow he's coming back. So he says like this. Anida, once she gets this Hatipa's done, she knows she's also down for the next week. Doesn't have to be Zayin again, but a Zava, she sees Hatipa's done. Maybe it's only Shomer Yom Kedegen Yom. So she's not Miyayish. 2 days, also maybe Shomer Yom Kedegen Yom. Only after the third day, and third day she's used to. So there's not going to be any...
So he says like this. So the same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gola us, but he didn't want that we should be mitzdayer. So therefore, he says like this. So that's why Hashem was never Megala the case. Because this way, we always have hope that it's, you know, it's coming tomorrow. If you could say, okay, it's not going to be for another 1,000 years, you know, then, so that's like the Nida approach. The Nida approach is, you have a little bit, and right away you know it's going to be, you know, the long haul. The long haul is only a week, whatever. But by Zava, every day, the first day, is maybe by tomorrow I'll be ready to go to the mikvah. Or the second day also, is also Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom. So he says like this. The Chorban Bais Rishon, we're not working, you know, different sheetahs with the Rambam and the Raiva, the Shechina, but he says like this. The Chorban Bais Rishon was only a small time, 70 years. So it was Man Muat. So the Shechina wasn't nostalgic. But the Chorban Bais Sheni, as we know, was a long time. So the Shechina, it's a long time, then the Shechina is nostalgic. And that's the idea of Shualim Hilchubo. Because if the Shechina would be there, the Shualim would sense it, would be afraid to. So that's the Pshat. Al Eile Dove Aneinu Al Shuainenu Al Har Tzion Sheshameim Shualim Hilchubo. Because Al Eile Dove Alibeinu. Because it was brought together by Sheini, was a long haul. So that's what? Dove Alibeinu. And that the Shechina was nostalgic. So that's the gather of what? Of Nida. That's Dova. Dova is Losh Nida. Chet Chad Chota Yehuda Al Kain L'Nida Hayasa. But not L'Zova. L'Nida Hayasa. Because that's the long haul. So whenever it's the long haul, that's the Losh Dova. Because so even though a Zova is longer, but it comes in increments. And you don't get the disappointment right away. So then by then you're used to it. That's the word of Rav Yonah and Eibshitz and the Yaris Dvash Drush Yud Gimel Ayin Sham. Okay, so if there are any questions, anything, you know, but that these are ideas of Nida and. Thank you. And
that shadow to do with the Pope and Rav and the Knei Bosom, how did the Rav possible?
Yeah, so I'll tell you. Rabbi Yecheskel Roth, he wrote a kunshus called a kunshus ani. Ayin nun yud ani. He wrote 3 tshuvas in the kunshus. One was about Erevin, one was about Nida, one was about Yivamas. So the Erevin had to do with Tzchivas Rishus. The Nida
had to do with Dam in the toilet, and the Yud, the Yavamas, had to do with, I think, 9/11. It was after, so he wanted to say a Chiddush. He wanted to say like this, that he held Meikra Din, the water in the toilet is not Mekabel Tuma. He says, it's a Machloikis. And how do you learn the Sugya of... So his psak was, the Yechetzel Rosh psak is my friend of Yanko Bergstein. Yanko Bergstein, you know him, but he's a big time cop in the Rav in Kiryas Yoel. He came out with a new Shailas Yad. It's unbelievable. You have to use, whenever you even cover Shailas Yad, you should look at his. He did a beautiful job, you know. So he said from his Rebbe, Rebbe Yechetzel Roth, that even if it's bigger than a gris, it could be mako, because Meikra Din, he feels that it's not makabel tuma. But once it gets too big, too much blood, then he's choshish that that's a riyah, and then once it's a riyah, then he's not good.
How much blood?
Yes, so it could be, you know, even more than a gris, but once it's like a whole toilet is full with, you know, as opposed to a specific area that's in the tzumtzum, you know, Rav Tzinner Shlita, he's a Talmud of the Pupa Rav, so he's a maker. I don't think he would be maker, probably similar to what Rav Yechezkel Roth would say. But Rav Yechezkel Roth has this, has a chiddush that he says that the Rambam is the one who's machmir to say that that the revis is water in the ground is makabel tuma, but he's the one who holds that it's a macha anyway. And he holds the other shita that mako so works in good either way. So the what is the Rambam? It's makabel tuma, but it's a mach anyway. And according to the other shitas, that it's not makabel tuma, so, and it's not a mach, but it's not makabel tuma. So it worked in that was his chop in his in the nun part of the country. The other shitas about this also, but.
What does he feel about
IEDs?
Should he recommend against them?
Is
a
wrong
replacing?
Look, I mean, you know, it causes a lot of problems. So the first, some people, it's fine. But some people, it causes a lot of problems, and then they have to get over there and change it. Every person is, obviously, you know, it's popular because it's, you put it in, and then you don't have to, you know. You know, and they want to, you know, people don't want to do the least effort. So that's why they put it in, and then they're finished, but then they suffer. So every person is different. And, well, you know, if it was up to me, all these hormonal things just mess up everything. You know, so, but they became the popular way because you just take a pill and you get marn them. You know, and.
Some of the longer gender people.
So all you do is very popular because you just put it in. And, but for some people it works.
The pill.
Yeah, so for some people it works. Rav Ausch claims, he told me, that he feels that that some people are all hamach with tashmish, but the people don't. I mean, he's seen it, so I can't. I haven't seen that. He's seen it, so. For some people, it's fine. But when they try to do it too much, and then they get breakthrough bleeding, and then they.
Is there a difference in the exchange between whether it's copper IUDs or the Mirena IUDs? Because I was mentioning hormones.
Hormones does the worst. Because hormones, you know, changes it tampers with, you know, whenever there's mechanical things, not hormonal things, you know, and you're not changing the inner mahus of your body. So a lot of people get sick over the hormones, you know, they it's not healthy for them. So it's a very individualized discussion of what works, you know, together with the doctor and this and that. But you're right, but the Miranda, you know, just causes,
So there was speaking about before about the hormone problem that was speaking from experience of the Miranda IUD as opposed to
Right, so the hormones with the Mirena.
Plus a lot more problems than the Kappa one.
Right, but the, right. Yeah, that's, you know, birth control is a complex, we're living in a complex society with that, you know, women have to work as well as that, and, you know, it's not easy to juggle, you know. It's a different world than it was years ago. That, you know, people, you know, when the housewife, it's a whole different. So Shechter claims that's why women aren't markish the hargashas, because they're too active to really be in tune with all the hargashas in their body. It's just a theory, he said. Not a halachic comment. But as I said, you know, all of Hilchas Nida, you know, became, as I said, you know, you start off this year with you know, the tipa is the, and the big amount doesn't mean anything. Or maybe you said it needed Rabbanu or something like that. Yeah, so that's what Rabbi Tuckle thought. He thought this needed Rabbanu as far as makes a lot of sense. Yeah. The body always holds the follow the latest one. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, so we have a lot of
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey.